We've been saying for weeks we need to get a live seller on the show. We found one. All right, Kip's here. He sells live on Whatnot and TikTok. Kip, give us a quick version. How'd you get into this?
Yeah, what's up, Ben? What's up, John? Appreciate you guys. Sold, just been a reseller for a long time, like past 7 years. Sold on eBay, sold on Amazon, Etsy, kind of ran the whole gambit. And unfortunately, early 2025, my Amazon account got suspended. And I was talking a little bit about live selling, just kind of how it was a big opportunity. I saw the funding that Whatnot as a platform had received from private equity. It's like, okay, I think this is at least got it. The money's got to flow somewhere. So let's try to figure this out. And so February of 2025, I took the leap, started on Whatnot live selling. And that's the past year has been crazy. Lots of failures, like a lot of failures, but then it's a lot of success too. So it's been fun.
What did you sell on Amazon? And like, what are you selling live? I'm curious. Is it the same sort of things where you, a reseller on Amazon? Did you have your own brand? And what are you bringing? When you hop on Whatnot, what is it different? Is it the same stuff?
Yeah. So I was always a reseller, never really had my own brand. I did sell like I would cut up like Louis Vuitton, Gucci bags and turn them into like Apple Watch bands on Etsy in college. So that was like the only thing that I had that was like, this is my own thing. But even then I was piggybacking off Louis Vuitton, So anyways, on Amazon, it was other people's products. We were selling like vet supplies and toothpaste and, just all different brands, all different things. And it's actually totally different on Whatnot. I am a reseller also on Whatnot and these live selling platforms, but it's not as much of random assortment. People have success with the random assortment, but we sell a lot of women's fashion. So we're looking for those top brands or, the high perceived value, those desirable brands, things like that. And then keep it pretty niche of like, okay, today we're running footwear, today we're selling athletic wear, today we're selling jewelry, whatever it may be. It's not like, oh, here's a vet supply, oh, here's a toothpaste, here's this, here's that. People do that, you can have success with that, but that's not what we do.
Were you like connected with brands on Amazon, reselling them as their like Amazon partner, or were you, finding deals and buying out, everything at TJ Maxx of that SKU and then throwing it up there? How are you doing that?
Yeah, so I would do that approach of like kind of the retail arbitrage approach on eBay. Had a lot of success with that on eBay, but I was just kind of sick and tired of fulfilling it from my own apartment, And so when I moved to Amazon, I kind of went more the online arbitrage route, started an online arbitrage after about 6 months to a year, then we moved to wholesale. So we would, travel around conventions, call up suppliers, purchase, 10,000 units, 5,000 units of XYZ, and then sell it on Amazon. So that was kind of the thing that I did on Amazon was more wholesale. That was where the bulk of my business was.
Awesome. So you obviously flipped over to live selling. And so it's going to be a new concept to a lot of people. And there's a lot of people online talking about live selling. Gary V's out there pumping it every second reel I see from him and all of that sort of thing. And, in countries like China, live selling is like 25% of all e-commerce sales, which is fucking bananas if you ask me. And Korea, it's similar and all of that sort of thing. In countries like the US, Australia, it's much less common at this point, but it's growing. Why do you think it's the biggest untapped opportunity in e-commerce? Do you think it is, like people are saying, or?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it kind of gets a little muddied in terms of what is live selling. I think if you look at the, those Eastern, just like in Asia, if you look in Asia, live selling is mostly like kind of full price products. They're going super duper fast. It's kind of like that kind of brain rot. You're scrolling, you find something, you buy something, it's super cheap, it ships super fast. It's kind of like Temu, but live, right? And Temu is really interesting in the US anyways, but that's not quite the experience that we have with live selling in the US. In the US, I think there's two kind of categories. You have live selling in general, and that's kind of been the past 3-4 years. I'm sure you've heard it kind of, oh, you got to get into live selling. And you turn into one of those shows, let's say TikTok. It's pretty popular on TikTok. And it's a brand and they're selling kind of full price products. And they're just kind of there to demonstrate, hey, this is how it fits. This is kind of nice quality. And we have a flash sale down below. It's 15% off for this specific color. Oh my gosh, it's gone. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, you can't get it again for that price. Now we're moving on to the next product. And it's just not super engaging because most sellers or most buyers understand that price is probably really not the best price I can ever get. Like, the sense of urgency isn't quite there. If I want to go to the product display page on your website, I can get the same kind of information. It's not super engaging and there's not a big sense of urgency. So it's kind of fizzled out. I've talked to a lot of brands where they're like, yeah, TikTok was kind of paying us to go live and do these, you know, do these live streams. But once they stopped paying us to kind of pay to play, it's like, it just wasn't working because we weren't selling enough. And there are brands who have success with that platform or with that strategy. I'm not knocking that strategy. So let's put a pin in that. Then there's live auctions. And that is what is really, really exciting over the past couple of years, really the last year, is what we're seeing is live auctions. That's kind of what you see on Whatnot. Everything starts at $1 or $5 or whatever price, but let's just take $1 for the example. You start at $1 and it's a $300, you know, PlayStation or $400 PlayStation. So you have the instant engagement for whoever's there. If they're really selling a PlayStation at $1, there's going to be so many people who are engaged in that. And so it's super duper engaging. It's super fast paced. And, you know, at the end of the day, if it's a 30 second auction, you're going to sell something in 30 seconds. And so that's where the opportunity comes as a reseller, is like, you will sell something. You know, you may not know the price, but you most likely will sell it.
Cool. And so is that kind of, I like that separation, and I hadn't really thought about it that way for sure. And so does that kind of get to the crux of why somebody would buy something like live rather than just going and trying to buy it, you know, on a website or something like that? You know,
yeah.
I would assume a lot of the things you're selling live, like, I mean, you mentioned some of the things you've sold. I mean, you could go out and buy that type of product somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it really that people are turning up live mostly because of that kind of auction approach type process, or are there some other factors that get people buying live that, you know?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying is like why buy it live as compared to just online, right? Or yeah, just yeah, on yeah. Amazon or whatever. That's and right. I think, you know, I actually got tweeted at this yesterday, and I kind of thought about it for a little bit because it kind of makes sense to me, but I was like, okay, well, how do I explain it? And I think what's really common with these live streams is it feels like a convention or a like a card show for any category. If you're into, I mean, we could use cards, but I kind of want to use a more difficult example. If you're into electronics and you go to an electronic convention, you may not have the intention that you're going to buy something, right? You're just interested in electronics. You want to see the different computers they have. You want to see the different phone cases. You want to see the different phones, the different chargers, tablets, whatever it may be. You're just interested. You're kind of a hobbyist. You're like, this is cool. You start browsing the show. Every single item is different, right? Every single tablet's different. Maybe this one is a different color. Maybe this one has different specs. This computer has different specs. This laptop's different, blah, blah, blah. You're really interested. And then you come across a deal that you just feel like you have to have. And so then you make the purchase. And then now you're invested in that convention. You've been there for 30 minutes. You've already made a purchase. Well, this one's a pretty good price over here. Let me go buy that one. Let me buy this one. And then you walk out of there spending $400. Going into it, you didn't necessarily expect to spend money. You're not intentionally shopping for something. And so that's the distinction I see, is like on Amazon, you're most likely intentionally shopping for something. I need XYZ for my house. Let me go see the market, see what the best option is. Let me make that purchase. That's not really happening on live auctions, because it's an entertainment, that variety aspect first, similar to this electronic show, card show type thing. I'm into this category. I want to see what they have. Oh, I didn't know they had that. Oh, I didn't know that existed. Oh, I didn't know this existed. Oh, shoot, that's a really good deal. I need to buy that. And so that's the real distinction that I see right now.
All right. So like, I'm a boring kind of guy. I'm probably a bit shy. I'm introverted, all of that sort of thing. And you can get it. You can do business if you're that type of person. Like, there's lots of different businesses out there you can be really successful at. You know, I have products. Maybe I'm already selling products somewhere. Like, how do I take advantage of live selling? Because I've got to think, if I'm that person, which is probably most people, the biggest barrier in my mind is like, oh shit, now I've got to get in front of a camera and be entertaining.
Yeah.
So like, what can I do?
Yeah. So there's two things with that. Is number one, people are going to relate with you. I mean, regardless of the type of person you are, they relate with you, and then hopefully they end up spending money with you. So no matter what type of person you are, you can have success on this. Secondly, that aspect that you said, where it's like, I need to be entertaining. I think that people do want entertainment, but they want it to be authentic, and they want to relate first. And so what we tell our streamers is like, if you're selling a product, don't try to sell the product. Because if you're trying to sell the product and you're pushing, trying to make it really entertaining and oh my gosh, you need to have this. This is so cool. Wow, I can't believe it does this, blah, blah, blah. That comes across as a little disingenuous, number one. But number two, the right product will sell itself to the right person. Like, not every shoe is going to be cute to me. Not every, you know, clothing item or hat is going to, I'm going to like. But if I come across it on a live stream, I will know it when I see it. And I just need that streamer to really relate with me on a personal level of like, this is what it is. Hey, maybe this isn't my thing, but if you're into red hats like I have here, then this could be perfect for you. Boom. And that's how you can make that sale, just by being yourself, because the product is going to sell itself to the right person.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, is it kind of like relating it, I guess, sort of to kind of like content creation? Like, if you're a bit of a weirdo, you're kind of trying to find other weirdos like you, right?
No, 100%.
Just like be yourself.
Palm Street is another app that does live auctions, but their niche is plants, which I've never thought about buying plants via live. And so I tune into it. I'm pretty confused. Like, it just doesn't clock with me. But these shows have 40, 50, 60 people in there, and these plants are being bid up to $60, $70, $80 because they're rare and this and that. And the person selling it, you know, it's a plant person. Like, not really my kind of person, but if you, you know, are interested in that product, you're probably interested in that person. So it goes both hand in hand, right?
I got to check that out. Like, I've never heard of that. You mention it though, like, and I know a lot of people who grow plants and sell them, particularly through COVID that got like really popular, right? And they're like, I know people that were selling these little plants, like you say, they're kind of rare, they've got funny colors on them or whatever. They're selling for like hundreds of dollars, like $400 or $500 for the plant. It's about this high in like a pot or something. It's like crazy. And so, but there is not another one like that, right? So coming to it with that kind of auction approach, this is a unique product, you can't get it anywhere else, you know, get people bidding for it. Like, I can see that working.
Yeah. Those unique products do really well because there's not going to be another one like it. And so if you want it, this is literally the moment that we've created. There's 50 people in the audience. Those are the only 50 people you're going to be bidding against for this exact item. And so to your point, yeah, I tuned in one time and was just blown away because they were selling like not seedlings, but you know, like sproutlings. I don't know. You know, these 3-inch long plants that you would propagate. And they were $40-$50. And obviously it's a rarity aspect to it. I didn't understand it, but I was interested. And I'm sure that if you're into it, like, you have a lot of plants in your, you know, behind you, like, you might be into it. You're like, oh shoot, I just spent $200 and I bought 5 plants. I didn't expect to, but I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think of my wife. She used to collect orchids, right? You know, they have the beautiful flowers, all that sort of thing. And like, yeah, you could go into like an orchid site and like 2 hours later, she's like, oh, I got $300 worth of orchids.
You can do some damage.
I'm like, great. They're these tiny little things, you know what I mean? And they're beautiful. They're beautiful for sure. And she propagates them and grows them from that and all that sort of thing. So I get that one. I'm like literally going to go and check that out later.
You should check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that website's sweet. For a long time, I didn't quite understand live selling because for me, it's been cards. It's been breaks, right? And so big Gary V fan, have a bunch of his NFTs. When Topps Chrome 25 came out, if you go look back at my PayPal, it's whatnot, just in July and August last year, because I couldn't help myself. I'd get in a break and be like, I like this character. I want to get the big hit. Like, that's gambling to me. And I don't think I really connected reselling, right? A lot of people are yourself included, right? Going to B-Stock and doing what Shannon Jean came on here and talked about and buying returns and things like that and selling it. I can see how that method works, but I never really like took it to the next step. This Palm Street actually like really ties it together for me. This is like another reason the internet is the greatest thing ever, right? You can find your group of people anywhere, and now you can be with your group of people and sell shit. Like, that just, I don't know how I've never stumbled on Palm Street before. This really tied everything together for me.
It's pretty new, and this is going to take it even a step further. I was on Palm Street yesterday and there was a rock, like they were selling rocks. So you can do anything.
Oh, we're recording right now. It's 4:20. I can see somebody on here selling something very similar. Yeah. I can see how the plants could be, you know, a wonderful thing to sell. That's interesting to me.
I see the rocks as well. Rocks are unique, right? I literally took my kids. I was away on holiday a month ago. We went to a market, like a farmer's market, and there was a dude selling, like rocks with like stuff through them and all of that sort of thing. And the kids loved it. Like literally, I left there with rocks, like literally rocks that I paid for. The kids love them. They put them on their bedside tables and all of this sort of thing. They're colorful. They look pretty, whatever. I get that, man. Like, wow. Yeah, that's blowing my mind. Hey, it's John here. I just wanted to let you know that the Low Bar Pod membership is now live. So if you've been loving the show and you'd love to hang out directly with myself and Ben and a whole bunch of other like-minded individuals to do more fun business stuff, head to lowbarpod.com/join. It's just $9 a month. It's cancel at any time. We can't wait to see you inside.
All right. So before the call, we had mentioned John and I have been in e-commerce a long time, right? We actually come from a very similar world to you where we reach out to brands themselves, ask them how we can become a retailer for their products. And we set up a, you know, a niche e-commerce store, right? Selling whatever, 3D printers or selling to makers or man, I've sold everything under the sun at this point. If you want to talk about composting toilets, I can go there, right? In that industry, you can really narrow it down to a couple things. You need to be good at Google Ads and SEO. And you need to be good at customer service. That's really what you can boil this down to. Can you boil this reselling down to two things? For me, the notes I put down were like, is it really just sourcing products at a good price point and having Riz? Is that it? Is that the two things? Or what would you boil this down to?
Man, that's a good question. Because there's a lot that goes into it. Whenever we're talking about like collectibles, that business is totally different. So let's just look at like reselling kind of, I mean, I think it's what you really asked is like reselling. Can you resell anything and how would you do it? If we're boiling it down, I people always ask me what should I sell on Whatnot? What should I sell on Whatnot? And, or what should I sell on live platforms? And it's a good question, right? I mean, it's where you have to start is what should you sell? But it's actually not the right question. There's the right question we talk about is how do you sell it? And what goes into how do you sell it? And that like that is how we source products is whenever I'm looking at a lot of goods, whether it be beauty products or, you know, kitchen appliances or food, I'm thinking, how am I going to sell that that is engaging and ultimately profitable? And so whenever we're talking about Whatnot or TikTok or whatever, ideally, we're starting at a dollar if we can. And if we start at a dollar, I don't want my buy cost to be too astronomically high because you're going to need a lot of bids, which is going to take a lot of time to get up to that $30, $40, $50, $60 range. So right now it does lend itself to cheaper products. And in order to get cheaper products, we're looking at liquidation products. So let's just shelf that. We're looking at liquidation products. How do we sell these things so that we can be profitable? And you need to be really clever about that. I think that that is what really separates a super successful live seller from a just like a mid successful live seller is they're very clever about how they present the entire show and how they present the product that is the show. The individual product is great. If you have great product, that's amazing. But your real product that you're engaging people with is your show. And so how are you going to start the show? What is, you know, like what is the product variety that you're bringing? What type of person are you targeting and what can you promise them? So like I did soccer, we got a bunch of soccer jerseys in from overseas and I've never sold soccer jerseys. I don't know anything about it. I've never really watched soccer to be honest, but the idea that I'm presenting to them is that, hey guys, we have about 50% of these are soccer jerseys. A lot of these are European teams. Some of them are national teams. Some of them are more like Premier League or other things. And we have infant sizes, kids sizes, children's sizes, men's sizes, women's sizes. So if you're shopping for your kids, you know, you can maybe even match them because we got some matching kits, things like that. So that just imagine your, you know, 3-year-old running around in this, super duper cute. But then also if you don't see your team, we also have some other products that are Nike, Jordan products that are not soccer kits. So we have some athletic shorts, we have some hoodies, we have some jackets, we have some basketball shorts, things like that. So if you're in this and you're looking for some soccer gear or some swag for soccer, but then also looking for, you know, maybe you get your soccer team and you want to buy a Nike hoodie, we got that as well. So stay tuned for the next hour or two, or it was actually 2 hours. Stay tuned for the next 2 hours and hopefully you find what you're looking for. Hopefully, you know, you get something, you find your team, whatever it may be. So that's the product I am offering them as is the full show, is the full experience. If you stay for an hour, let's say if you just stay for 30 minutes, here's what you're going to get. And I sourced it with that intention of like, I think this makes sense. This is a product. This is an experience that makes sense to the viewer. And I think I can be profitable with these specific products. So that was a very long-winded answer. I apologize.
No, that's cool. And from like a, from a psychology perspective or like a persuasion perspective, you just opened about three loops there.
How so? What do you mean?
So this is like a marketing thing. Like whenever you're trying to draw somebody into what you're doing, you open a loop, but you don't close it. So like you're telling people, this is what we've got in the hole. Like if you hang around for this long, you're going to see these types of things, but you don't know exactly what those things are, right? So you've opened a loop which doesn't close until you actually show people those things and they can see what they are and how much they are and how much interest there is in them and all of that sort of thing. And so that's, I mean...
100%. No, that's exactly what we're doing. Yes.
That gets the curiosity up, like jacked up, like, oh, yeah, cool. I'm interested in this stuff. I want to hang around and see what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I totally get that.
That's exactly what we're doing. Yes.
Yeah. That's real smart for sure. And like you do that when you're selling anything. Like if you want somebody to read like your sales letter, if you're doing like really old school marketing, you open a loop right at the top of your sales pitch and don't close it till later. And that gets people to consume the whole thing, right? I mean, it's kind of like cool marketing 101 stuff. Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science, which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
All right, what tech do I need, right? I've been on a lot of breaks on whatnot. It would appear they're shooting everything on a little phone. Seems like they have multiple, right? They have one pointing down at the car. They have one pointing at them. They're clickety-clacking on a laptop over here. So is it just a phone? Is it a phone plus a computer? Do I need a label printer? Do I need like SaaS for shipping of some sort? Like who's paying for shipping? I have so many questions about the nitty gritty details.
Yeah. So the good thing is Whatnot and TikTok both, they make it really, really straightforward and really, really simple. We have been doing this for over a year and we still go live with just an iPhone front camera, no microphone. We have like no separate microphone. We have like one studio light, sometimes two. And either a tablet or our laptop. So that, I mean, we can even ditch the studio lights. Sometimes we actually don't even use those. So tripod, phone, and then tablet or computer. That's really all you need to get started. And that's all we still use. So it's kind of advanced there. But a label printer, yeah, you definitely need a label printer. Because if you're pumping this kind of volume every 30 seconds, you're making a sale. You know, you're going to be packing 100, 200 items a day. We could sell for 12 hours a day, 30 seconds an item. So what would that be? I'm not sure, but you know, 400 items a day, we could do it.
And when you go to ship, are you like rewatching the video or in real time, you're like taking a piece of tape and writing the name of who just bought it on there and setting it off? Are you setting it in a perfect order so that you can just work your way backwards? There's so many questions I have watching a stream of like, how do they remember all this stuff? Usually for cards, they've got someone next to them who's, you know, penny sleeving them and top loading them. And, they're doing a giveaway every 3 minutes of some random card so that they can get people to subscribe, right? And they got to label those too. That, to me, there seems like a lot of back end stuff here where the front end seems not so, I don't know, for a guy who's been on camera for 5+ years, same as John, I think we could stand here and sell whatever. It wouldn't bother me at all. That back end logistics stuff would be like, oh, God, what a slog, right? And so, How do you handle that?
Yeah, you want to make that back end stuff as smooth as possible. So the front end can be smooth, right? So you're not worried about this while you're on camera. So to your point of like the how do you keep track of everything? Because everything you sell is going to be different for the most part, especially if you're talking about cards, right? This card's different than that card different. So in the back end, whether it's TikTok, whatnot, I'm sure Palm Street is, it's a number system. So the first item you sell is tagged as number one. And so if John bought number one and then 10 minutes later he bought number 20, my packing slip or the way that we ship it to him would say John, his address, and then number 1 and 20. And both platforms, TikTok and whatnot, right now they handle the label generation, the shipping configuration. And so it would hand, they would basically hand me a label. This is John. This 1 and 20 needs to go here. Slap this label on it and ship it out. And so they try to make that as easy as possible. But if you're not organized in the moment, if you're not tagging things properly, so that's what we do is we have thermal labels, like little 2x1 labels from 1 to 100 or 1 to 400, however many we plan to sell that day. And then we just tag everything live while we're selling it. Number 1 tagged, number 2 tagged, number 3 tagged. And then we'll hang it up. Like we do lots of clothing. So we hang them up in order. If we're doing footwear, we'll box them kind of on a shelf in order. Jewelry, we'll tag it and just kind of put it nicely in a box. So keep it as organized as possible to keep the shipping as organized as possible. But tagging, and they handle the label generation. So if you can figure out the tagging and keeping everything straight, it's pretty smooth, honestly.
And are you preloading stuff? Like, you know, I bought this on a stream or something. Like, it would, you know, they would put all the characters in there for VFriends, right? And so you, everything's already been labeled before. And that sounds like a lot of work as well when you're putting in 100 different items or who knows how many items you're selling. Are you doing that? Or are you simply like, next item is this and it's just item number 14, right? Or are you spending time like saying green dress, red stripes, whatever?
Yeah. So that's the beauty of live selling is all you need is the phone and the inventory. We don't pre-sort anything. We don't pre-list anything. I mean, we will if it's a high-end item and we want to like call it out later or something, but we don't do that. We set our phone up right in front of the pallets that we got in pretty much and just pull, describe it, sell it. Pull, describe it, sell it. And that's why, like you kind of asked earlier about like as a brand owner, what's the angle here? Because you know, it doesn't quite make sense yet. It's really good for overstocks and customer returns. So if you have a pile of 300 customer returns that you don't know if they're damaged, you don't know if they're legit, you don't know if a tag's broken, you know, you don't want to re-inventory them and then sell them at the full price. Like, it's just not worth it. It's really good for that stuff. You set up your phone. Maybe you do this once a week, twice a week, depending on how many customer returns you have. And you can just describe the item. Is it damaged? Is it not damaged? What is it? And then just run it at a dollar, right? You're just getting that recovery for it. And the goal there is to limit your labor involved in it. It's like, how little prep can you do? How easy can you pack it? How easy can you ship it? And then the bulk of your time is going to be spent live selling. So that's totally fine. If you're live selling, if you're spending 4 hours live selling, but you're recovering 30% of your, you know, your merchandise value, that's great. You know, as long as you're not spending a ton of time inventorying it, checking it, this, that, like, it's just not worth it.
And I've paid shipping. I've been given free shipping. What do you do personally?
We do buyer pays shipping.
I think you have to, right? Because you never know what your item's going to sell for. You're hoping you get your money back and profit, but like, you know, shipping could kill you.
I think it kind of depends on the culture of the app at that given time. If there's a lot of buyers that go to switch to free shipping, then we might just have to switch to free shipping. But right now the buyers expect to pay shipping. And so why would I, you know, not go that route? Even we've tried offering free shipping and it genuinely doesn't help because people expect themselves to be paying shipping anyways.
So I think going through here, we've mentioned a lot of things that you could sell. You've mentioned some of the things that you sell, and we've obviously discovered that you could sell rocks or plants. I think some of the common threads that we've pulled there are like obviously around the pricing, around like scarcity or uniqueness of a product. But like, can you sell anything live, or like what doesn't work?
Yeah. Whenever you're really deep on one SKU or a couple SKUs, it just doesn't lend itself to the auction format as well. You know, you can do the full price live or the 30% off live or the half off live or whatever. But it doesn't make sense if you're auctioning off the same item over and over and over again, because the longer the customer waits, the less competition there'll be. And so you have a sharp decay in price point. You know, the first one might go for 30, next one 25, next one 20, next one 20, next one 15, 10, 10, 5, 4, 3, you know, just because everybody already got it. So those, if you're really deep in one SKU, you can't do the auction format as it's intended. You know, you can't leverage the auction format as much as you can with a high variety show. And so that is really the biggest red flag is like when we're sourcing product, we need variety. We need super duper high variety, which is great because there's not a lot of ways to sell high variety lots. It's very difficult. It's very labor intensive for most other channels. But if you're live streaming, you don't even have to know what you have. As long as you know it's high variety, just hold up your phone and sell it.
I've seen people go the opposite way. They have 100 of the same thing, and they know their whatever their average cost needs to be $20 or whatever it is. Make up any numbers you want here, Kip. But what they'll do is say the first one's $1, the second one's $2, the next one's $3, and they'll literally just move them like that. So my brain immediately went to digital products, right? It's very easy to run a sale on a digital product, send out a bunch of emails, and you know, hope and pray that you move some people through the funnel. But if you had an audience of people who are, you know, following you for something like that, could you then say, look, normally this costs whatever, $400, but today I'm going to sell 300 of them and I'm going to start at $1 or whatever. You just like work your way up through a cascading system. Have you seen anyone sell that way? Which I've seen a few. And two, have you seen digital products on here, which seems like it would lend itself well? You would just need perhaps variety.
No, that's super cool. Honestly, I haven't seen that kind of reverse cascade system. Is that a lot of, have you seen that in the collectible space?
I want to say I've only seen cards, so I have to assume that that's where I saw it.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm not too familiar with the collectible space, so that could be why. Because with the collectible space, you know, cards, gold, all that stuff, like there's a market value attached to these items. And so if you're, you know, buying a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, there is a market value for that. And if you're getting it anything under that, then you can, as a buyer, make money off of it. It seems like a no-brainer. Whereas with some of the stuff that we sell is a lot of clothing and just probably, I don't know how big, like it's probably 50-50 on whatnot at this point. 50% collectibles, 50% other stuff. You know, right? There's no attributed value or market value to like, you know, a hat. You just don't know. Like it's whatever the consumer thinks it's worth. And so that cascading system, I don't know. I think it could be interesting for that sort of thing. In terms of digital products, I've not seen it. I think that would be super duper cool because you have no cost involved. I think that's where it would really leverage is like, you know, if you're live, the only thing that you have is your time. That's the only cost involved. And so any sale after that is great. And then if you can come up with a way to make it engaging, I think that would crush along with auction. I've never seen a digital product be auctioned off. And I think that that would be pretty cool.
I think the hardest part would be the audience, right? You know, again, I follow Gary Vee a lot. His end up just being a 2-hour hangout, right? Where he's giving you the quote unquote alpha or, you know, just talking about stuff. And then in the middle, he'll be like, look, you know, I know these boxes are hard to find right now. Let's do 30 of them at $17, whatever, something, mm-hmm. you know, kind of cheap, not really cheap, but kind of cheap.
Yeah.
And he'll burn through them quickly, right? And so maybe if you had some sort of closed off information product and you were like, right now, I'm going to put 20 of them out here and you can buy them at a reduced cost.
I think the difference for him, obviously he has the audience, but two, he owns like the IP and the product. And so he knows like any sale that he makes is great because he has other channels he'll sell them through. Whereas if you're a reseller and you have, if you buy 500 units and 100 of them are the same, you're going to have to go out of your way to find a different way to sell that 100 or, you know, be creative with how you sell it. And so it's actually a problem more than it is, you know, a benefit for a reseller.
When you sell someone else's course, it's very common for you to get 50% margins as an affiliate for selling their course. Like that's pretty standard nowadays, right? And so I can assume I could see somebody who could build the audience do this live selling by going to all of their partners and saying, I need 10 from you, I need 10 from you or whatever. And again, the digital product holder is not going to care too much at the cost at which their things sell. They want to make some sales, right? And so, I don't know, my brain got spinning on different ideas, especially when you showed me the Palm Street. I was just like, okay, how many different ways could you spin this?
Yeah, that'd be super duper cool. That'd be super duper cool. I've talked to some other people about auctioning off vacation packages that are like close to expiring or whatever. Like Expedia, they buy the hotels that are about, you know, that I don't know why they're vacant or whatever. I think that would be super cool with live auctions is like a vacation package. Like, hey, next week, we got your flight. We got the cruise. We got this. Started at $1, go. Like, I think that would be so cool. But same thing, like, I think these creative ways, like, if you're doing digital products, there's something there. There's definitely something there. Because the auction format is so engaging.
Yeah, that's interesting, the travel thing. Ben, you know that upsell we saw on that course where they're giving away, like, if you buy this course, you get this.
Free vacation.
Yeah. Free vacation.
Didn't we know somebody selling wicker furniture doing that too?
They're getting this vacation for free. Like you could totally go and acquire those vacations and then auction them, right? Because they're well below their cost price, right? Well below their cost price. So like you could, and I think they're getting them nearly for free to fill up. Because they're just trying to fill rooms, right? They're trying to get people in.
Yeah. The emotional attachment to a vacation too. Like you could be in Bali next week, Ben. Let's go. Dollar. Start at $1. Let's see it. I mean, who's going to say no? Like, oh, I'm going to take off work. Let's do it.
It's when we get to this point of every podcast where I'm like, okay, I kind of want to try this with some weird shit. Like, it's the weird stuff that intrigues me. Like, you know, I'm not going to stand up there with a dress. And granted, if I put it on, it might sell faster. I don't know. But like, there's some weird stuff that I think could really work. Like the plant one is kind of weird in its own right. All of these little sub things, they interest me a little more than liquidation, in my opinion. Like, it feels like there's a real opportunity here, and I can't quite put my finger on it, if I'm honest. It feels like we're just kind of scratching the edges of where this is actually going to go.
Yeah, 100%. We're going to see how the consumer changes. I mean, if you're demanding a purchase from your customer base every 30 seconds, right, there's going to be a decay over time of, you know, buying power and where they're going to choose to put their money at. It gets super exciting early on for a lot of consumers, a lot of buyers, and then they kind of fizzle out after a few weeks. And so it'll be interesting over the next like 3-4 years to see where this live auction thing, how it plays out. Right now, new customers every day. People are still just hearing about it. And so it's super duper exciting right now. It's in that growth phase. But yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious too.
What's your prediction? You're in it. You're in it more than... You know, you're like in the 1% of people that do this, probably, like out of all the people, you know, on the planet. So like, where do you think, where do you think it goes?
I think that it's going to be kind of a cop-out answer, but building your audience is the most important thing. I think that if you are a micro influencer or an influencer in any way, you can implement live selling once a month, once a week, twice a week into your audience, and it'll feel natural at some point. And I think that that's ultimately where it goes. Like, maybe not ultimately, but that's where a big part of it goes is, hey, I follow this influencer. They're going to be live Friday night. They're selling this brand. They're partnering with this brand. They're going to do, you know, exclusive drop. It's only going to be in this moment. And I think when you can create those moments, that will sustain. That's the longevity piece of it, is like creating those moments that are special. Because otherwise, you know, just go buy it on Amazon, you know, if it's like that. And then the other side of it is, I think liquidation, customer returns, all that stuff will always have a place in live auctions, because you're minimizing your labor. You don't have to, you're not sorting through everything. You're not doing this and that. Like, while you're sorting through it, you're selling it. And so that's, I think that'll sustain forever. I think that's really, like, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Do you think other platforms take this in? And the reason I'm asking is, for a long time on my lunch break, I would watch a guy named Lucci play Call of Duty. He doesn't play the game anymore, which makes me sad. He's just somebody, I just want to watch him. I like the way he talks. Again, very similar to live selling. During those things, I can see people asking, hey, will you play with a fan? And most streamers don't play with fans. It's not something they do. But like, if that was integrated into Kick or Twitch or wherever they're on to, for him to just go, you know what, I'm gonna play with one fan today. Here, let's start it at $1. Like, I can imagine that goes bananas for them, right? The connection, same as John and I, we could have a group call and say, we don't do coaching. Typically, we're going to do coaching. I'll do one coaching call today. We're going to start it at $1 and like, let the, you know, I could see this really working on a connection. The moment you said influencer, my brain started generating other ideas. And so do you see other platforms adopting this?
I think they have to. I think they absolutely have to. I'm not really too familiar with the play of like other streaming services. Think like Kick and Twitch and those. Are they going to become shopping apps? I don't think so. I don't think that's their play. But I definitely think early on, right, the next year, you'll see Temu do it if they don't already do it. You'll see Temu add live auctions. You'll see Instagram add live auctions. Facebook definitely will add live auctions. I can't imagine they won't. So, you know, the people who already have an audience on there, it'll be a natural transition for them if they plan to sell. In terms of, yeah, if like you just have an interest and you want to sell like an ancillary product, like a coaching thing, I think that like kind of like the gambling thing, right? People like gambling. People like that. So a lot of people do it. They'll do blind boxes for merch. They'll do this and that. So why? I think that that's probably the next phase for that, is like auctions. Like, why would I sell this at $20 if I could just auction and then maybe get 30, right? Like, let them choose. So I think that could happen for sure.
I just can't imagine you're streaming on Kick, right? Which we did a whole episode on. If you want to learn about Kick, you should go watch that one. There's some weird shit on there. But like, I can't imagine someone's on Kick and then they're like, oh, by the way, I'll be on Whatnot later tonight. Come over to my, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to want to leave the platform. So you said Instagram, Facebook, attention's everywhere, right? YouTube has the most attention at the moment. People are live on short, you know, vertical shorts all night long. I somehow scroll past some weird ones there. Like, people aren't going to want to leave that platform. So
100%. And they don't want you to leave that platform.
Right. So inevitably, I assume it just gets integrated everywhere. Somebody partners with somebody, and no matter the platform on, you can run a sale of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine it won't. TikTok just added their live auctions, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. So
yeah. Like I can say, I mean, I love the thing about influencers and that sort of thing. I agree. It makes so much sense. Like if you're like using the Lucci example, if you're live anyway, it's like such a natural fit for what you do that it wouldn't be hard to be like, go out and get like some brand sponsorships or something and just be like, hey, I'm Lucci. I've got my Lucci collaboration with this brand. I got 10 of these products. Let's start auctioning them off. You know what I mean? And just do like, you've got scarcity. You can put scarcity into it. There's so many different things you could do there. That's super interesting. I totally hadn't thought about that at all. But now I am. That's great.
Think about the guy who's like streaming himself selling hot dogs. I'm not sure where he integrates the live selling into, but like, that's what Kick is. Again, people are spending hours there, whether they're playing video games or watching someone gamble or watching someone sleep or some of the other weird shit we saw. Like, they have the attention. I can't imagine it doesn't come to a platform like that where they can't. Like John said, you know, when Lucci partners with some headset brand or something, you know, some controller brand or something, like, people are going to go nuts over that stuff. So it's a huge win for the streamer who's probably already struggling already. Most of them are. And so I don't see how this doesn't integrate there.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a dropship partnership. Hey, if you here's 20 that you can auction off today, start them at $1, whatever you get, you know, you'll get 20% of whatever it sells for. You know, you don't have to have the item. It's just commission. And I think that'd be super cool. Cause to your point, like, that was a challenge with us when we were super, when we were trying to grow our Whatnot channel, is like, I don't want to promote on Instagram, ask them to download the app, ask them to find us on our profile, and then wait for us to go live. Like, that's Whatnot's job. I want Whatnot to worry about people downloading the app, and then I'll move from there. So it's like all those steps involved, you know, they want to cut that out. Like, I think Instagram just launched their shop function recently, or they're going to. I just can't imagine they don't start adding these live purchases, whether that be auctions or just normal shopping.
So I want to ask about a little bit about the business aspect of this. Like, so I'm curious, obviously you could build a business just around selling live, right? So you're just selling live. That's your thing. When you go live, you're selling. When you're not live, you're not. Like, can this turn into a bigger business, do you think? Or does this bolt successfully onto existing businesses? I think we've kind of talked about that a little bit. Like, if you're a business that had a lot of returns or overstock situations or whatever, like, you could definitely kind of bolt this on and utilize this method to help you move some of that stuff. Or is this just like, if you're a live seller, that's your business, you're a live seller. Does it become something else at some point, or could it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, like, I'm trying to figure that out too, of, you know, is this going to be the job where I'm just buying and selling stuff? Is this the job? I like the job, it does well, but is this the job? And I think that the next evolution or something to look into is, like, ultimately all I need is my phone, not even my phone, right? Anybody can log into my account, and I just need to have inventory nearby, physically in front of me, and a way to fulfill it. And so if, like, let's say hypothetically our audience grew really big and they knew us for, you know, we have a lot of women shoppers age 20 to 40. Why don't I approach those businesses who have liquidation or overstock and say, let's just consign it. Let me show up to your warehouse or show up to wherever you have it, and I'll just sell it for you. All I need is my phone. You fulfill it, and we'll just take a cut or something like that. So we kind of built this brand of, women's fashion auctions, wherever they are. So then that's kind of the two-sided coin, where you have the consumers who come to you for that sort of thing, but then you have brands who come to you and say, hey, you're the guy to sell these. If we started it ourselves, we probably wouldn't get 30% of what you get them. So what you get for them, because you've already built that audience. So that's where I could see that going. There's also like me approaching, or live sellers approaching liquidation businesses and helping, like paying a consultant fee to set it up for them. So there's that. But yeah, I think that the aspect of all you need is your phone and you have this massive audience really hasn't been tapped into yet too much. There are some accounts that do some consigning, but not quite like I described.
Yeah. And so just out of curiosity, like when you're selling like on Whatnot or TikTok or whatever, are you like getting like customer data on those people that you can retain, or is that mostly all retained by the platform and not by you? Or is that shared?
Yeah, it's pretty standard like most platforms, right? You don't get their email, but you do get their name and you get the demographic data, and you can send them follow-up mail involving purchase data, like involving their purchase. So kind of, but not as much as like if you were on Shopify.
Yeah, sure.
In the card market, if you want to scale, it's simply call Tops, call Fleer, call whoever, and get more product, right? And then you probably can't continue being on camera forever by yourself. And so you end up bringing in, you know, a second personality and a third personality, but it's all around the same thing. So I want to talk to you specifically about scale. I have a few questions around it. So I heard you mention on a different podcast, you have a team. I'd love to know how you found the team, and do you think, can you start with a team from day one? And then really, how do you pivot to new products here? Because for you, it's not like I can just bring on more, let's say, you know, fashion, more dresses, like you're going to have to move, right? And for cards, you can just be like, okay, I'm going to try Garbage Pail Kids or V Friends or something this year. I can put it up, say the auction's in 5 days, you can pre-buy your slots. That will, you know, show you intent there. So how would you pivot here, given how you pivot? I'd love to know how you know, I know you have a team doing this. How would you build a team? Can you start with a team? And how would you pivot to new stuff as you know, how do you scale this?
Yeah, great question. I think, so we started with just me, really, like, and some family members, because I didn't know if this would work out. And so I was a streamer, and then we just kind of pack it together. And I think that you should start it yourself, because streaming, right? It's like, how to stream? Well, there's really not anything out there. Like, you kind of got to be yourself. You kind of got to figure it out. And so, you know, we help a lot of people do that. But at the end of the day, you need to figure it out yourself. So I think you should start with being the streamer, and you should outsource packing as soon as possible, because it's you pack a lot of orders, and it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time. So I think you should outsource that really quickly. Once you get into that phase, yeah, so then it's like, well, okay, I only earn money really while I'm live. So the leverage point there is be live more. In order to be live more, you need more inventory. And if you have more of the same inventory, your audience may not be interested in more lives, right? So you kind of want to add that variety, like you're saying. And so for us, it's like, okay, we have footwear, we have clothing, we have jewelry, we have bags, we have athletic wear. And that's what's great about clothing, is it's infinitely variety. You know, there's infinite variety. You can always have a different brand. There's always a different season. There's always different, you know, price points, everything. So that's what's nice about clothing. But in terms of our operations and scaling it, we really are constrained to the amount of space we have. Because you can sell an item every 30 seconds, you can sell 1,000 units a day if you had two channels going. Well, in order to store 1,000 units, that's a lot of space. And so, you know, and especially if you're doing that day after day after day after day after day, that's a lot of space. So we're kind of constrained to how much space we have in terms of scale. And that's why I like looking at those categories that are a lot smaller. Like cards would be super interesting. I just don't know anything about it, because they don't take up as much space. Jewelry is really great because it doesn't take up much space. Beauty products are great. They don't take up much space. So, you know, at this point we understand the model. We understand how to train a streamer. We understand how to fulfill the products. So it's like, what do we have space for? What will become profitable? What can we do consistently? That's really the challenge. And then it's an operational challenge. How many streamers do you need? Do you need to schedule them? Do you need to work around their hours? Like, those things become challenging.
And you mentioned you have a team. Like, how did you find people? You know, it can't be you forever, right? No business can be that way. I think that's actually a really hard point for most people to get past. It can't just be me. You know, how did you get past that? How did you find the people? Can you start from day one with this? Can I start right out of the gates? I know you said maybe I should do it first out of the gates, which is cool. I'm beautiful. How do I find more beautiful people just like me who want to be on camera?
Yeah, outsource the packing as soon as possible. Hire somebody for packing. And then you need to find a streamer. That's how I did it. Find a packer. Now I need to find a streamer so we can be live more. And that's a challenging job to hire for, because, again, there's no real rubric out there. And so that's really challenging. And so we find somebody who is in your niche and at least interested in the products you have. So we sell women's fashion. So I was looking for somebody who probably would buy our products anyways. And somebody who, you know, I had a price range that we pay. And so it's like, okay, well, who are the people in that job? It's like, well, people who work at a boutique store. Okay, like, I'm going to go find where are the boutique stores hiring people? I'm going to go there and approach them. Like, this is a much more exciting job for you than a boutique store. And so it was pretty easy once you get in front of the right people to hire, like, true talent, like really good people.
I assume you're recruiting too, right? Like, if you're selling a lot of this type of fashion, you might just go in those stores and be like, well, this person has a face for, you know, I have a face for radio. These people have a face for live selling, right? And you know, also, I don't know how you judge whether they have charisma or they don't have charisma. That's probably going to come from a conversation. But I assume, you know, maybe you're shopping somewhere with your spouse and you're like, I like you. How would you like a job kind of thing?
Yeah, 100%. I talked to my wife about that, like figuring it out how to freaking do that, like for how to hire these people because it's so challenging. Thankfully, the people that I have now were found via word of mouth, like talking to everybody I know, like, hey, do you know somebody like this that would be good at this job? And came through a few people, interviewed a few people and found some great people. But yeah, like I talked to her about that. Just like have a business card that says, hey, I'm Kip. You know, I have a family. I also have a business and we're looking for people who are interested in this product and what pays this much. If you're interested, you know, inquire and just kind of handing that out at those boutique stores or places like that. I just hopefully it doesn't sound creepy.
Do you go, like we mentioned, you can do this on Whatnot. You can do this TikTok Live, mentioned the other platform as well. Are you doing them all at the same time? Or is like, are you like putting a phone, two phones next to each other? One's TikTok Live, one's Whatnot, or are they different? Are the platforms different and you're better off doing them like separately?
The platforms are different, number one. And number two, it's right now it's not possible to do them together because you'll auction off a specific item. Only one customer can win it. You can't bid against each other, two different apps. So that's where a lot of people go, they're like, oh, I need to do them both at the same time. It's just not really possible.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would really help. I don't know. I'm sure it will be possible eventually. But
is it a different crowd on each one? Like, do you think you get a noticeably different audience in terms of how they interact and how much they do or don't buy at this point?
Definitely. On Whatnot, it's a much more higher intent audience. It's a shopping app. So everybody on that app is most likely interested in shopping. TikTok, your viewership is probably 2 to 3x as high, but not everybody there is buying at all. Not everybody there is even talking. They're just kind of watching, seeing. So there's much less engagement on TikTok as compared to Whatnot. You know, we've had successful shows on Whatnot with 10 people in the room. That just would not be possible on TikTok.
Do you have OGs there? Like on Whatnot, you've got your OGs that just show up for every show. They might not even buy shit anymore. They're just like the name, you know. You love them because they have been buying forever. And like, yeah, they're the OGs. Like, have you been on TikTok long enough to see I've got this group of people that just show up when I show up?
Not quite. Not that I've noticed. There's some people that like to show up here and there. But there's a lot of times, I don't even know if they have the capability really to see when we're live every time. I'm sure that'll change, but there's a lot of people tune in like, I didn't even know you were live. You know, I didn't get a notification. And you know, they want to be an OG. They want to be there, but they just aren't. They didn't even know we're live. So majority of our viewership from TikTok, like 80% of it comes from the For You page. And so 80% of it is just going to be algorithm fed. But what's ironic with that is like we've moved a lot from Whatnot into TikTok the past few months. And the people on Whatnot, my customers on Whatnot reach out to us all the time, like, send me the link. Like, I need to be there. I miss you guys. You know, so they are migrating from Whatnot to TikTok to follow us.
You said you don't get the data. I would assume every ounce of John over here is going, you're getting their email somehow, right? You're getting their email. Is that allowed? Can you say, hey, I'll come over and opt in for this thing on my website? Kind of like, how do you steal the data? Because I'm sure you've been thinking about it.
Yeah, they're real. So they use AI while like the live is going. And if you try to move them from any site to any site, like you'll get flagged. And so that's TikTok. But you are able to put order inserts into the orders. And so we do that. And hopefully people scan things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be my thing. I mean, you can insert stuff. So if you've got somewhere to send people, I mean, that's the obvious thing. Put a QR code in with your insert and like, hey, catch us here, blah, 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 or whatever. And you can probably communicate with them via post afterwards, you know, about their order, but like,
yeah, about their order.
Equally,
right?
You know, get some other stuff in there as well in a not so obvious way, I'm sure. And you could definitely, if you had a big enough list, you could do like mailing campaigns around that stuff, I'm sure. Like postcards, like we do for our e-commerce businesses, Ben, or something like that.
I mean, I would get them on a SMS list, right? Like that, I would just sign up for one of the many programs and say, text, you know, in their order, I would just say, hey, text this number to get on our text list and we'll text you every time we're live. Like they're going to be on their phone anyway, right? And so I would just get that list of all their phone numbers. And
I'm all in. I'm doing that. I need to do that. Like I've been so like just figuring out how the heck this business works that like I haven't figured out how to optimize it yet. So those are helpful.
Yeah. I think there's like, I mean, this is all stuff that other businesses do. I mean, if you've been on Amazon for any length of time, I mean, you don't get much customer data from Amazon. So I'm sure Ben's been on Amazon, you know, on and off for quite some time. And I'm sure there's a lot of Amazon sellers out there that have kind of tried to work some of this stuff out already. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of similar to that.
Yeah, 100%. And everything on TikTok goes through the TikTok shop platform. So any TikTok shop rules are the same. And TikTok shop's been around for a while now. So there's a lot of resources out there for that. And, you know, software and stuff like that. So that's what's nice about TikTok is it goes through a very sophisticated platform.
You got the banhammer once, right? You said Amazon knocked you out. I believe I heard you on a different podcast say that happened while you're in the hospital with your brand new baby being born.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to let someone else own you, right? Like you have to immediately put an insert in every single one that says get on my SMS list because inevitably TikTok's going to go, hey, Kip, we don't like you anymore, right? Or you said something bad about Taiwan. Get out of here. Right? And then, like, how are you going to tell them where to go next if you have to do that?
You're absolutely right. I like, you know, like, hold my hands over my eyes and, like, that won't happen. Like, that won't happen. It's impossible. It cannot happen again. It just can't. It happened to me on Etsy. It happened to me on Amazon. Like, it just can't happen again. It's impossible.
Oh, man. Look, you have a course. We can link it up for your audience. Where can people find you? Where can people find, is it a course? Is it like a community? What are you calling what you have on the back end there?
Yeah, so we have a live selling community. It's a community first, but there are lots of resources in there. We do weekly live calls, lots of workshops in there, wholesale deals. The reality is this live selling is so new. So many people who just don't know how it works. They see people having success. It's like they download it. They don't know how the shipping works. They don't know how this works. Like those very basic questions that are confusing because it's so new, right? So we have courses for that in there, but then also we just have ongoing support because it's changing and it's fast changing, different categories. I don't know how collectibles really work, but we have collectible sellers in there that talk about things. And so again, yeah, that's liveselling.academy. And then we have exclusive offer for anybody who's listening to this. It's liveselling.academy/lowbar. And so you're gonna get 2 months for the price of one. Really test it out, see if it's your thing. Go through all the course content, do whatever you want and leave, that's fine. But I think you're going to stick around because it's a really cool opportunity. But if you just want to follow me, I'm at Kip_Roland, and that's R-O-L-A-N-D. And that's just on Twitter there. So I post a lot about live selling, our success, our failures. And I'm always open to DMs. You guys DM me, ask me questions. There's a lot of things that I don't know and I'm happy to learn. So if you have a different experience, I'm happy to hear it.
If you're watching on YouTube, we're going to link him as a collaborator. He's saying, as we record this, he has no videos. We're going to hold his feet to the fire. He'll have some videos soon. So make sure you go follow him on his YouTube channel too.
Yeah. I need to like give you a date for my first YouTube video or something. So I have to do it. I'm not going to, but I should give you like, but no, I get a lot of people asking me about like, how does this thing work? How does shipping work? And there's really no good YouTube videos out there. I mean, they're very rare. And especially on TikTok, they just launched live auctions on January 20th. So it's been live for 2 months. And so there's just not much out there. We're figuring out it's changing day by day. And so I have a lot of knowledge. I need to get it out there. And that the first place it goes is Live Selling Academy.
I mean, you're talking to two guys who built our other business just off that, right? I mean, it's essentially SEO, but for the video world, right? So we teach high ticket dropshipping. If you go back to our first videos, it is what is high ticket dropshipping? High ticket versus low ticket dropshipping. It's just like literally keyword after keyword after keyword. And that's what built that whole business for us. And so if you're saying no one's out there, this is a massive opportunity for you to go, you know, take an hour, 2 hours. You probably don't need to script out the videos, right? You just need to find the 20, 30 keywords that are out there. How do I handle shipping on whatnot? How do I handle shipping on like it's just going to be simple questions. Go shoot your video, send it off to a wonderful editor, and you're going to crush on YouTube for sure.
Sweet. No, I appreciate that. I remember the high ticket dropshipping. Like, I remember when I found that on my Twitter, like probably 6 years ago or so. I'm like, this is so cool. It probably could have been you guys. I have no clue.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Lowbar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Lowbar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.